Amen. You may be seated. And we turn in the Word of God once again this morning to Ephesians. We're almost finished with this wonderful epistle. Ephesians chapter 6. And we read this morning once again the section beginning in verse 10, verses 10 through 18. Before I read, we should mention with thanksgiving that Kim McGuire is not only home, but she's with us this morning in worship. So thank you for that. Pastor Strange didn't see her when he was praying. Praise the Lord for his mercies. Good to have her with us. Also good to have the Smiths back with us where they belong. Right? Praise the Lord for his goodness. Good summer. Knowing his blessings. We come now to the Word then. Ephesians chapter 6, God's holy word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. God's holy Word, may He write upon our hearts. Let's pray again together. Father, help us now, we pray, as we meditate in this, Your Word. We do pray You write it upon our hearts. Teach us, we pray, what it is to live in Christ, to live in communion with Him, in fellowship with Him, to abide in Him and He in us. We ask it for His name's sake. Amen. Well, we come again this morning to this wonderful section on spiritual warfare, the conflict which every Christian faces. We're reminded as we come, we consider the armor of God once again. That only the Christian can wear this armor. If I'm not in Christ, if I've not trusted Christ alone for my salvation, I cannot know anything of this. And so we examine our hearts. Am I trusting in Christ alone? Am I looking to Him alone? Have I turned from sin and to Him? Well, if I have, then I can know this privilege of the whole armor of God, which is nothing less than to be clothed in Christ and to know His life and His power at work in me. We've argued that in this section, the apostle highlights specific pieces of the armor, doesn't he? Why? Because he purposes to bring to us particular truths that are crucial to our standing amidst the conflict of the Christian life. So he brings particular emphases by raising each piece of armor, each piece of the weaponry. He means, in his purpose, he means to bring a particular truth to us. We began to consider last time the apostle's reference then to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Of course, he makes that very clear. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. But what's the particular truth that's emphasized by the use of this figure? It's this. In order to stand amidst conflict, I must learn to apply the Word of God actively and with precision. That we say, that we assert is the particular truth that the apostle by the Spirit of God means to bring to us. I must actively use the word of truth like a sword. So recall again, Pilgrim's Progress Christian, when Apollyon, the terrible Apollyon, stands in his path, and Christian says, "Beware what you do, Apollyon! I'm on the King's highway, the way of holiness!" You remember now, we referred to it already, what does Apollyon to say to him? "I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare thyself to die." So not enough to merely say, "I'm a Christian, you better watch out." What did Christian need to do? He needed to take up his sword. Now, in an adaptation of that great classic, Pilgrim's Progress, the character Prudence, who of course represents prudence, gave this counsel to Christian in order that he might see success in his warfare against sin and temptation. First, she said, "You must set your mind on heavenly things." Secondly, at the first approach of evil, you must cry out to your Lord. And finally, when the world, the flesh, and the devil still seem to tempt you, you must cast in their face the words of Scripture. For the Word of God cuts and hacks them so effectively that they must soon retreat from the conflict. Now think of that counsel this morning. This in particular. When the world, the flesh, and the devil still seem to tempt you, you must cast in their face the words of Scripture. And why? Because the Word of God cuts and hacks them so effectively that they must soon retreat from the conflict. Brothers and sisters, we are called to actively apply the Word of God in every part of our life. And most specifically, we're called to put to death the sinful deeds of the flesh. Now, the sword is the only piece of the soldier's weaponry that was used to kill. It's the only piece of armor that's effective for that purpose. Well then, how do I, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh? The answer is clear, isn't it? I must actively use the Word of God, the weapon which God has given me for this very purpose, the weapon which really does put to death the deeds of the flesh. I must take it up. I must use it. I must embrace it by faith. I must bring it to bear when the world, the flesh, and the devil continue to come against me. I must cast in their face the words of Scripture. We saw last time, we emphasized last time, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, sometimes, often this lesson's lost on us. Who do we think we are? This is what He did. "It is written," He said. Let me ask you, when was the last time you did that? This is what He did. He used this sword, the Word of truth. He believed it. He believed in God's every declaration is true. And He brought it like a sword, and He said, "It is written," which is to say, this is the Word of the living God. This is the promise of the living God. This is the declaration of the living God. That, brothers and sisters, is how we're supposed to live. And it's certainly, then, we say, how it is we're supposed to face conflict. I must actively use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We emphasize again, this is the weapon that kills. And I need to use it. So we consider this morning, first, our frequent neglect of the sword in just the scenario we thought about. Our frequent neglect of the sword, and then what it is to put the sword to use. First, our frequent neglect of the sword. Now, all of us have experienced this. Very common, all too common scenario. We find ourselves pressed by temptation. We find ourselves ensnared. And seeking to refuse that temptation, resist that temptation, we find we're having no success. The temptation remains strong. It continues to beat against us. What then? Now often we've prayed a prayer something like this. Lord, I have no strength. My desire takes me towards sin. You must give me strength. You must change my desires. I feel powerless in this matter. Now at this point, brothers and sisters, we're ensnared. And we need to think about Christian as he faced Apollyon. We pray, as we should. We cry out, but seemingly to no avail. You see, we often try to continue resisting by merely praying. I emphasize merely here because we need to pray. We need to cry out the whole time. But oftentimes we continue to seek to resist by merely praying. The recognition of our helplessness is vital at every point. We must not minimize that. It's also vital to continue crying out. But what did Prudence say to Christian? When the world, the flesh, and the devil still seem to tempt you, you must cast in their face the words of Scripture. For the Word of God cuts and hacks them so effectively that they must soon retreat from the conflict. You see, all too often we neglect to use the sword of the Spirit. The very weapon that God has given to us. The weapon designed to put the enemy to flight. The weapon designed to put to death the deeds of the flesh. So we cry out, Lord, I have no strength. You must give me strength. How many times have you prayed that? I've prayed that 10,000 times. So have you. You must give me strength. You must give me power. And what would our Lord say to us at this point? As Apollyon cries at us, I am void of fear in this matter. What would our Lord say to us? He would say something like this, I've given you strength. I've given you power. See, I've given you a divinely powerful sword. And you must trust in it. And you must use it. In fact, you must trust in nothing else. In the conflicts of your Christian life, you must take up the sword of the Spirit and discover its invincible power for yourself. Why don't you take it up and see how wonderfully it cuts and hacks at every temptation? In fact, this is your great privilege to use this sword, to know my power at work in you, to be strong in the strength of my might. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's by the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh. Which means, in this context very clearly, it's by the sword of the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh. But all too often, we neglect to use this sword. We don't think about it. We don't think about the truth. We don't seek to bring the truth to bear precisely upon the temptation, upon the conflict which we face. So what's the problem at its root? It's a failure to believe in the sufficiency of the Word of God. That's the problem at its root. Again, think of the example. We think immediately of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He regarded every declaration of God as true. That is how he thought. That is how he lived. So frequently upon his lips, yes, and particularly in temptation, it is written. It is written. He had his sword. He drew out his sword and he said, it's written. And the enemy, yes, Satan himself he put to flight. Think about that. I doubt any of us have ever had to deal directly with Satan. Our Lord Jesus Christ put Satan to flight with this word. And I must learn to do it. It's my privilege. It's my privilege as a Christian to live this way. Yes, to live in unbroken communion with my Lord and to know His power at work in me. And this is the nature of His power at work in me. This is how I realize His power at work in me. It is, as ever, by faith, isn't it? I hold to His word. I use His word. I bring His word, the word of truth, to bear. Let's consider now putting the sword to use then. We've almost described something of it already. Think just for a moment again about the necessity of preparation. We've already spoken about preparation, and we saw the apostle really emphasizes that with respect to other pieces of the armor. So we've spoken of that and how the word of God believed is the only thing that can prepare me for the conflict. So I need to be prepared to discern the precise point of attack and temptation. Said another way, I must learn to recognize the first stirrings of sin. I must learn to recognize when I do indeed enter into temptation. What we're saying just now is simply this. I won't learn to recognize when I've entered into temptation unless I'm daily in the Word of God. This prepares me. So it just speaks of the effectiveness, the power of the Word of God from this, a different vantage point, doesn't it? To spot temptation, to see the first stirrings of sin. Only the Word of God can prepare me for this. That it corresponds to what Prudence said, the Christian again, when she said, first, you must set your mind on heavenly things. This is what I need to do every day. Every day, I need to be in communion with my Lord and in His Word. I need to be setting my mind on heavenly things. That prepares me. It enables me to discern the first stirrings of sin. Well, what are the indicators? What are the indicators? Just briefly here, a few indicators that I am entering into temptation, that I'm perhaps ensnared. First this, when the lusts of the heart meet up with the thing, the occasion or the person that stirs up that desire, I've entered into temptation. Now, each of us has to understand our own hearts with respect to these things. When the lusts of the heart meet up with the thing, the occasion, the person that stirs up that desire, I've entered into temptation. Think about this. When I'm disturbed and distracted in my heart, arguing and debating within, you know what I mean by this? You know what I mean? When I'm disturbed and distracted, arguing, debating within, I've become ensnared. I need to spot it. Whoa, I'm not in a good place. I need to recognize this. I've drifted. I'm not where I need to be now. I've drifted. I'm entering into temptation. Now again, I can only have that sensitivity as I walk with Christ. I can only have that sensitivity as I'm in His Word daily. Otherwise, I quickly get swept away. Also this, when my heart begins to like exposure to the temptation, I'm ensnared. In other words, when I begin to toy with it, when I invite it, I begin to like exposure, then I'm ensnared. Also this, just to think of it from another direction, when I'm finding it easy to neglect matters of spiritual duty, think about that. When I'm finding it easy to neglect matters of spiritual duty, let me bring just one practical application. When I'm finding it easy to not read the Word of God, I'm entering into temptation. Husbands, when I'm finding it easy to not pray with my wife, I'm entering into temptation. So yes, broadly, when I find it easy to neglect matters of spiritual duty, I am entering into temptation. I'm there, I'm disturbed, I'm distracted, right? I'm arguing, I'm debating within. Well, we see then the necessity of preparation, but then action. I must take action. That's our primary emphasis this morning. I must take action. What should I do? What do I need to do? We emphasize again, I must certainly cry out to God and continue to do so. And so Prudence again, her counsel, at the first approach of evil, you must cry out to your Lord. Now, how often we fail to cry out. I certainly must cry out. I must cry out to God and continue to do so. But we say that, oh, then the action, right? I must bring the Word of God to bear upon sin and temptation. So says Prudence. When the world, the flesh, and the devil still seem to tempt you, you must cast in their face the words of Scripture. Now, preliminary sort of way, put simply, I must drag it out into the open, sin, I must expose it, call it what it is, and I must use every conceivable measure to take away its life. Above all, I must use the sword. I must. Now we say every conceivable measure, and that kind of rounds out how we resist temptation. But above all, I need to use the sword. I need to take up the sword. Said Prudence, right? The Word of God cuts and hacks them so effectively that they must soon retreat from the conflict. I must bring the Word of God to bear, and I must bring the Word of God to bear precisely upon the temptation. Remember how we described the Machaira, the sword that's referred to here, 18 inches long, very sharp. When used with skill, it was deadly. It was, if used precisely, it killed. I need to use the Word of God precisely with this encouragement. It really does kill. Now, I want to give a few examples, which is to say, brothers and sisters, I need to have an arsenal ready at hand. Swords, let me put it in the plural just now, swords, finely sharpened and ready to go, whatever the particular temptation. Now again, we see the importance of meditating in the Word of God. We see the importance of memorizing the Word of God, right? I need to have an arsenal ready at hand. I realize the passage speaks of one sword, right? But it represents the utterances of God. I need to think in terms of the utterances of God. I need to have an arsenal ready. We say swords finely sharpened. Whatever the particular temptation, and each of us knows temptations particular to our own condition. So let me ask you, by way of challenge this morning, what are the verses that you have at hand in order to come actively against temptation? What are they? We need to have them ready at hand. See, I mean, here's a great argument. Yeah, have the verses on the refrigerator. Yes, have them on your ceiling. You know, thought of that. On your ceiling, you know, over your bed, big font, you know. Have them in front of you. Have them in the car. Have the verses. Memorize the Word of God. Yes. That's what our Savior did. He believed it, and he memorized it, and he used it with utmost skill, and he put the enemy to flight. It is written, he said. We need to say that. We need to learn to do this. We need to learn to do it. Those who claim to be Christians and don't really believe in the Word of God never do this. They never do this. Oh yeah, the Bible's very important to me. Some say they're not a Christian, though. The Bible's very important to me. I take it seriously. It's a very important book. I claim to be a Christian. They don't believe the Word of God. And if you don't believe the Word of God, you'll never do this. You'll never do it. But to stand amidst conflict, I must. So several examples here very quickly. And you could fill this out, other examples or other scripture that the Lord has brought to you and particularly encourage you as you face temptation. What about fear and anxiety? Fear and anxiety. Anybody ever struggle with this? Fear and anxiety? All of us. Duh! Fear and anxiety. Oh, here's a great sword. A great sword swing. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isn't that wonderful? Use it like a sword! Use it like a sword when you're tempted to be afraid. My Lord says, it is written. He said, here's his promise. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. Don't you love this? I will strengthen you. The emphasis, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How about this? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Most of us probably have this memorized, right? Be anxious for nothing. Struggle with anxiety? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is what God calls me to. It's a feature of using the sword. I need to come to prayer, yes. I need to cast my cares upon Him. The promise, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So just a particular use of the Word of God. It is written! What about guilt or condemnation? Again, we can think of several verses here, but you know, one of them just jumps out right away. Guilt and condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the enemy comes at you with false guilt, and his purpose is to weigh you down and to tell you, what's the use? Why even try living for Christ? Why come to worship? Why think you can worship? Why even think that you can sing these hymns in any robust sort of way, you sinner? Get the sword out and use it. My Lord says, this is His declaration, there is no condemnation, none of any kind, to those who are in Christ Jesus. There! Try that! You know what? It works! Why? Because it's the Word of God. Because the very power of God is behind it. Because it is the truth. And when taken by faith, when held by faith, it always meets its mark. But I need to take it up, don't I? What about bitterness? Anybody struggle with bitterness? Bitterness, usually associated with a refusal to forgive. Usually. Or some accusation toward God. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this is very important. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. How do you put to death the deeds of the flesh? How do you put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh? You use the sword of the Spirit. You bring it to bear upon the situation. When I am tempted again to not forgive, when I am tempted again to still hold it against my brother and sister, I need to take out this sword and use it. Now maybe it doesn't sound like a sword immediately, huh? Oh, but it cuts and it puts to death the old ways. It puts to death the flesh. You want to put to death your flesh? You want to put to death your bitterness? Think on this. Be kind to one another. This is what my Lord commands. This is His Word. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. This is what He commands. And this is what He does in me as I look to Him. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ forgave you. What about illicit, impure desires? Men? What about illicit and pure desires? I hope you have a sword to use for this, because it's all over the place. It's a click away on your computer screen. You've got to be ready for this. Here's a fine sword. Try this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God. You want to enjoy unsullied fellowship with Him. You want a taste of Him. You want a taste of God. Think about this. Get this out. Use it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Think about how empty and dulled and temporary the illicit sexual pleasure is. And think about heaven. And think about Christ and what it is to really taste of Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a fine sword. Get it out. Use it. Use it. Put it on your computer screen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Want to see God? Do you want to really see Him? By faith. Do you want to really see Him? 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. It is written! Use it! Abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. These destroy my soul. Use the sword. Got to use it. It won't do to just pray as important. You keep praying, you keep praying. You pray, you take out the sword, you use it with prayer. You're going to see that next time. You use it with prayer. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts which wage war upon the soul. Flee youthful lusts. Use that sword. Get out of that room. Get out of that setting. Do whatever you have to do. All right? But use the sword, because if you don't use the sword, it won't work. What about the fear of man? Now, this corresponds closely to fear and anxiety. I realize the fear of man. So I list the same sword again here as I did before. Great sword swing. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think about Matthew 6. Deal with the fear of man. Think about your Father who sees in secret. Think about that. Think about living before Him. Take that sword out and use it. Generally, meditate on the majesty of God. This helps wonderfully. The majesty of God and the littleness of man. Get out your memory verse cards. Oh God, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Think on that. Think about man like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. Huh? Psalm 62. Meditate on this. Use the sword. What about discontent and envy? Anybody deal with this? Discontent, envy. Well, here's a great sword swing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Oh, that's a great sword. In everything give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is a wonderful sword. You start to be discontent. You're starting to brew in discontentment. Get this sword out. In everything give thanks. Of course, what do we mean by using the sword here? In everything give thanks. It is written. This is my Lord's command. And you know what? I'm going to begin to thank God for all the wonderful things He's done in my life, the many gifts. Just start thinking about the many good things that He's done in your life. The many blessings you're tasting of at that moment. Give thanks. Give thanks. That'll put to death the deeds of the flesh. That will put to death discontentment. It will. Yes, it will. It's a divinely powerful sword. Well, finally, what about this? What about the dynamic, which is to say, how will this feel? When I bring the Word of God to bear amid spiritual conflict, when I use the Word of God to put to death the deeds of the flesh, how will this feel? At first I was going to say, you won't feel anything, but I want to change that a little bit. How will this feel? It'll feel good. Yeah, it will feel good. But I mean in this sense, of course. I will enjoy unclouded fellowship with my Lord. That feels great. If I could speak of faith as a sort of feeling just now, all right? A sense of things. Enjoying unclouded fellowship with my Lord, that's a pretty wonderful thing. You'll feel good in that sense. On the other hand, we should not expect some sudden sensation of power. Why? We walk by faith, not by sight. We'll put another way, we walk by faith and not by our feelings. And we resist temptations by faith in God's Word and not by how we may feel amidst the conflict. You've got to use the sword. You must use the sword. We have God's promise and we will enjoy His provision amidst the conflict. He promises it. No temptation has overtaken you except as is in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. That's His promise. So I have this blessing as I look to Him and I wait upon Him. He will meet me. He does make a way of escape. But you know this? Now, sometimes he overrules and He makes a way of escape quite in spite of us. All right? But He makes a way of escape by means of His Word, by the sword, if I will take it, if I'll take it up. So that's how it feels. And I can expect incremental advance. We often make this point, you know, in terms of our sanctification. Sanctification is from one degree of glory to another. You often hear me pray this way as I think about sanctification. It's from one degree of glory to another. You cannot generally watch yourself grow. You only see it in retrospect. But it is certain. The advance is certain. So, brothers and sisters, we close then today with this exhortation. We must ever set our minds on heavenly things. And when you see the first approach of evil, you must cry out to your Lord and keep on crying out. And when the world, the flesh, and the devil still seem to tempt you, you must cast in their face the words of Scripture. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to pierce the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, in joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and it effectively cuts and hacks every temptation. That's our exhortation today. Use the sword. Use it as our Savior did. Use it, trusting only in Him. Use it, trusting in His every declaration is true. And let's ask God's grace to do that. Let's pray. Father, help us then. We confess to You, Lord, how little we seem to believe Your Word, because we recognize how often we fail to take it up, to hold to it, to think in terms of it, to bring it to bear upon the particular need or upon the particular temptation. So we pray, Father, as we look forward, give us grace as we look forward. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to do this, to understand better our sanctification, to understand better the life that we have in our Savior, to relish the communion it is ours to enjoy with Christ. We pray, Father, again, that if there be any here who has not trusted in Christ alone, they might indeed do that by Your Spirit. Turn from sin and trust in Christ alone. We pray it in His name. Amen. Amen.